So as this presentation gets loaded, this work is done by my master's student, Alex Miller, at Purdue University. Controlled Environment Ag Lab at Purdue University, we have several goals, and one of our goals is to come up with some nice nutrient management recommendations for our growers. And what I'm going to show you today is about a novel way of actually looking at plant nutrient levels, nitrogen in particular. And going forward, I wanted to show you some newer technologies that we are developing at Purdue University, which are really affordable and easy to use. Just to set the stage, nutrient management in hydroponics is usually done by measuring electrical conductivity, simply because it's easy to measure and easy to automate. Electric conductivity, for those who are not familiar with the term, tells you the sum total of all the charged ions, in other words, all the fertilizer elements in the solution. It will not tell you which one in particular, is it more of nitrogen or something else. You will never know that information, but it's the total amount of fertilizer salts in the solution. This is the current conventional practice, but the best way would be to actually fertilize plants based on plant requirement. And we don't do that simply because it's really not practical at this stage. One way would be to take some plant samples and look at the nutrient status and then adjust the EC. However, that takes a long time before you get the samples back from the lab. On top of that, it adds some expenses, costs for the growers. There are some SPAD meters people use to look at nitrogen. However, there are really several limitations with SPAD, and one of the main limitations is you're only measuring a tiny, tiny portion of the leaf, which may never be represented to the whole plant. And then you have to take measurements at several times. And so what we are doing at Purdue is we are testing some whole plant or sometimes groups of plants based measurement. And this approach is actually not completely new in conventional agriculture. There is this whole big precision ag concept going on, and my colleague probably, Brian probably is aware of this. Basically, companies like Monsanto and DuPont, they are all into this big business of remotely measuring plant status, whether it is nutrition or water in the soil or suitability of a particular hybrid. All of this is done by just measuring the reflectance from the plants. So in this cartoon, I'm briefly explaining how that process works. An electromagnetic wave from sun hits leaf canopy. Some portion of that energy is reflected back, which is captured by satellites. And that information is sent back to terrestrial stations where they process that and then send that information directly to field maps that are located on farmer equipment. And so farmers know this, and they know where to add fertilizer and which location or which area of their farm is rich in fertilizer versus poor in fertilizer, and so they can plan their fertilizer management based on plant response. And so this is already there. However, there are some challenges with this technology, especially for conventional agriculture. Imagine a satellite taking a picture from up there. It will not distinguish a corn plant versus a wheat crop. It will show it as a green color, and therefore it thinks that it's all highly vegetatively rich and there is plenty of nitrogen. So there are some issues with that type of technology. However, this technology actually, in my opinion, is really good in controlled environment agriculture, in greenhouses and in indoor agriculture. Here is an example where we use simple spectral reflectance measures to look at, is there any specific response? We call it crop signature. It's the specific response that is coming out of the plant, and we measure this reflectance. And in this particular study, lettuce plants are grown at five different nitrogen levels, and we measured reflectance from plants, a group of plants actually, several times during the study. And in this picture, you're seeing all those treatments side by side, but they were actually grown in different replications. I just wanted to keep them side by side to show the morphological differences among the treatments. But then what is important is at the bottom, you can see the reflectance from each treatment, how the canopy is reflecting at different wavelengths. What I'm really looking for is something like this in this area, where you can clearly separate different treatments. the two lines at the top, the darker and the lighter blue, belong to either really high or a really low nitrogen, whereas the other three are in between. And then the optimum growth, what we saw between 2 and 2.5, they appear to be the ones that are actually absorbing most of the light in the red region, while the other plants, whether it's too low or too high, they have some level of stress and they're actually reflecting more. So this kind of tells that there is a signature from plants you can measure with reflectance, and that may be something that you can use to predict the nitrogen status of plants. And when we know that, you can actually use that to build your fertilizer program, nutrition program. So keep that information in mind, but I wanted to jump on to what we are actually doing. The spectral radiometer gives you data from groups of plants. It's a number that you get very quickly. However, there's much more powerful techniques nowadays. It's all based of imaging. And in this slide, I wanted to show you the concept of imaging. We have a multispectral image station where we place plants in that image station, and we expose plants to different LED lights of different wavelengths. And what I am interested in showing today is a couple of wavelengths, the red and the near-infrared region. And at each wavelength, we capture images of plants, and then we process these images to actually look at their nitrogen status. So what happens is, so here is your standard image. These are poinsettia plants. And the image is taken top-down, and that's what we call as an RGB image. So it's comprised of red, green, and blue wavelengths. You put them together, and you make a color image. Then, towards the end of this processing, what we do is we actually expose these plants a little longer to blue light and collect the fluorescence signal from the plants. And this fluorescence signal is being collected simply to differentiate the plant from the background. The background is dead, plastic material. It's not going to fluoresce, whereas plants do fluoresce. So when you pick up the fluorescence image, you have a nice, distinctive plant image against its background. And once we capture, and in this picture, it's very clear. You can see the plants is shown in white color. When something reflects back, it is always shown in white color. When light is absorbed by the plant, most of it is absorbed by the plant, the image looks really dark. Hold on to that thought for a minute. I'll explain it more in detail. But then once we have this fluorescence image, which can distinguish the background, we use that image to make a mask. In this mask, the software basically tells which areas to be measured and which areas to be removed out of the processing. And this mask, in this case, is white area. And that mask is applied onto either a red exposed image or near-infrared exposed image. When we apply this mask onto these two images, it gets rid of the background and will only process the actual plant area. And once we have done that, it's from that onward is pretty straightforward. And several of you probably are familiar with grayscale values. It's there in every camera, in every photography. We have this grayscale. It ranges from 0 to 256. 0 means it's black. 256 is white in color, and in between are different shades of gray. And so here is the grayscale value for red and near-infrared images. And you can see that there is a shift towards 0 for red, simply because plants absorb red light, and there's a slight shift towards 256 for the near-infrared because plants reflect most of the near-infrared light. But then you can get some mean grayscale values for each, and then you come up with a nice ratio. And then we'd build this ratio. So I just wanted to spend a little time so you understand this concept. So this is what we use to look at nitrogen status in plants. And I'll share a little bit more information. So the objectives are compare the efficacy of imaging and spectroradiometer-based approaches to look at the ability of them to distinguish crop signature when plants are grown at different nitrogen treatments. And then also relate that crop signature to actual tissue nitrogen levels, because that's what we are interested in, right? Brief detail about experiments. Plant material, green leaf lettuce, and we grew lettuce at five different nitrogen treatments, ranging from 0.75 to 3.5 decisiemens per meter. The duration was for nearly 3 weeks, 22 days. The four reps in a randomized complete block design, and one experimental unit consisted of a tray of four lettuce plants. We used ANOVA and Tukey's HST for analyzing the data with an alpha set at 5%. So this is the picture of the experiment in the greenhouse. So here is a replication, five different treatments, and there are four such replications. Okay. So we want to start with the spectroradiometer measures. Remember, I've shown you when we took the spectroradiometer measure, there was a clear separation of five EC treatments. And here we are looking at the similar data. I picked up that red band where we saw the biggest differences among the treatments. So here is the ratio of 660 to 820. We normalize to make sure that we account for differences in plant size by doing that. And on the x-axis, you have different fertilizer treatments. And what you're seeing here is the reflectance from the plant in different treatments. So it is somewhat a good relationship here, but it's not really linear. So we could not detect statistical differences among the treatments. However, there is some response. But then when we do the same approach but using imaging, again, now on the x-axis you have the fertilizer treatments, and on the y-axis you have that grayscale value I've showed you, the mean grayscale ratio obtained from the grayscale values. There is a nice linear relationship from 0.75 all the way to 3.5 decisiemens. So the imaging is actually appears to be much more sensitive, and I think that is mainly because we are able to actually get to the background. Using a spectroradiometer, you can make sure that you're really close and you're picking up crop signature, but it's always possible that you're measuring the reflectance from the background, and you'll never know that. And then also spectroradiometer probably measures only a portion of sphere of, semicircle, but in this case we're measuring the entire plants. And so it appears that the imaging is actually a better way of looking at it. And so then what we did was we went to the next level. We took that image-based metric, and the same plant samples that were grown in the greenhouse were sent to the laboratory. We analyzed for actual tissue nitrogen concentration, and that is being shown here as percentage of dry matter on the y-axis with the different nitrogen ratios. And there is a nice significant linear relationship between the image-derived ratio and plant nitrogen content. We have done this. I'm showing you only an example here for petunias. We have done the same approach for lettuce. We have done the same approach for petunias, poinsettias, and lettuce. So three crops showed near linear relationship. The image-derived metric nicely works for that. But then the challenge is, this is all nice. Nice multi-spec cameras, they will work very well with researchers. But how about when you translate this technology to growers? So what we are actually doing is we are taking that research-based technology and we're developing smartphone-based apps, because everyone has smartphones nowadays. And then we want to put some small cameras. If you look at the camera down there, that only costs about, we are actually building our custom cameras, which won't cost more than $50. We wanted to use those cameras, and the apps are free to download. We're also developing desktop versions to simply download and use those software. And once you take images, they process it and give you grayscale values, and then when you plug it into the software, it will give you the actual nitrogen status in plants. You think about the power of this technique. As a grower working in greenhouses, if he has to take some samples, it is costly, but for nitrogen it costs about $20 a sample, and then you send it to a laboratory. It takes about 5 days to a week to get the results back if they are really doing a great job. And then all of that, time and money, the growers can take pictures, get the assessment of nitrogen as and when they need. Of course, there is going to be some error with these measurements. They're not as accurate as analytical approaches, but growers are not really looking for statistical difference or p-values, but they are interested, should I fertilize my plants today? Is there enough nitrogen in my crop, or should I wait, or am I doing over-fertilization? And for those purposes, this technology is really good. So in conclusion, crop reflectance definitely can be used to measure nitrogen status of plants and can be used to actually manage fertilizer content. And imaging technique appears to be better. And going forward, within the next 6 months to 1 year, we'll be actually developing the smartphone-based apps that everybody can use. I have just time for one quick question. Yeah. So the question was, what is the effect of maturity or age of the plant on the efficacy of these instruments picking up a nitrogen signal? Yes, we are looking at it, and we actually collect data several times during the study. Every week we take these measurements. I just showed you just the harvest set of measurements, but we see this relationship. What we see is during the first week after exposing plants to nitrogen stress, there's not much difference because plants have not sensed that. But starting from week two onwards, we start seeing that nice relative linear relationship.